Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with Mum. I don't think I've done that intro for a while.
I don't think you have. Oh no, because you've been away.
How are you, Mum? You are on cooking duty today.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to smack it.
I might do, but who said Otto Lengi recipes are very simple? You said, make that, Mum, it looks simple.
It did look...
I've been up since 8:30. I've been cooking, it's now 11 o'clock.
Go on, tell the listener what we're having.
We're having blackened chicken with a caramelised clementine sauce.
Yum. He loves a chicken and clementine, doesn't he?
It's gorgeous.
We have a huge guest today. We actually... This is a big deal. Like, he doesn't do interviews that often.
I feel quite honoured.
And we actually put it out to you lot to offer up some questions, and we've had so many questions. Now, we have Bjorn from ABBA coming on, and... we're very, very excited. We went to see ABBA Voyage on Monday. They've created a whole ABBA arena. They made an arena in the dock. Where is it? It's kind of...
Pudding Mill Lane.
And it was remarkable.
It was just mind-blowing. It was so wonderful.
If you haven't got tickets, I tell you to
go
and get tickets.
I would treat anyone for their Christmas present to go and see it because it is so wonderful. It's amazing. It's unexpectedly amazing because you don't know what you're going to see, and I won't give the secrets away, but it is fantastic.
Also, you have a dance floor or seats. Yeah. So if you fancy dancing, then you can dance. But if you, well, everyone's dancing in the seats anyway. It's a really wonderful space. And for anybody that doesn't know what ABBA Voyage is, ABBA have created avatars of themselves where you essentially watch a performance, but it's kind of more than a performance. It's an experience with ABBA on stage as ABBA in the 70s would have looked.
They look like real people.
You
don't think it's trickery. It just seems like real people.
But they're not there.
I mean, you cheer when they come on.
You cheer when they come on. You clap after every song.
But it is a big party.
It is really wonderful. And of course, ABBA have so many hits. So yeah, it was a brilliant...
What's your favourite song?
I quite like when they did SOS. That was quite early on, wasn't it? That was great. Voulez-vous.
I like Fernando.
Fernando was gorge.
Yeah, let's not tell them what everything is because
anyway,
it's got to be a surprise.
We have Bjorn coming over, flying in for a quick bit of blackened chicken. And then what have you done for Pud?
A lemon polenta cake.
Lemon polenta. Who did you do that for last?
Stanley Tucci.
Only the best. Creme de la creme. Right. How are you serving it?
With mascarpone.
Gorgeous.
And raspberries.
Absolutely fab.
Yeah.
I did a gig for my friend Jess Mills for her mum's charity, which is Tessa Jowell Foundation, trying to make as much money to fund brain cancer research. And it was really amazing to be... We were in Southwark Cathedral. And I think... What do you call a cathedral person? Is it a dean?
I don't know.
Is
it a priest?
I don't know. Anyway, she loves you.
Does she?
Didn't know who I was, but she kind of went, oh. Oh, you're Jessie Ware. After I just sung, she went, oh, I love the podcast. I love your mum.
Of course, darling.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I went to see Manhattan Transfer last night.
Ooh.
Chanson d'amour. I asked a lady if we're in the right queue, having bossed another lady about taking too long to get her wine.
Yeah.
And the lady said, you're Lenny. You're Lenny from the podcast. She said, I don't need to see Manhattan Transfer now. She said, you've made my night.
How?
I tell everybody to listen, didn't she?
What, do you remember her name?
What was her name?
You must remember fans' names, Mum, next time.
Oh, sorry, darling, but a shout out to the lovely lady.
Val?
I can't remember.
Oh, God, Mum,
but she was
terrible.
There with her friend, and shout out to the lovely lady. Keep listening and keep telling all your friends.
I thought that was very kind of local radio. I think that was lovely.
Tell all your friends.
Yeah, is it feeling weird getting recognised all the time, Mum?
No one recognises my face, darling. They listen to my dulcet tones.
That iconic voice.
That whinge.
Well, I've managed to grab Alistair Campbell for the podcast. I love his politics podcast. When I told him who we were doing today, because when I was trying to entice him to come on...
And what did he say?
He said, I've been to see ABBA Voyage 3 times. Alistair Campbell is a huge ABBA fan.
I think I'd go again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think we should take your daughter.
I think she needs an education in ABBA. In her ABBA. Anyway, we've got Bjorn coming up on Table Manners. Can we welcome you to Table Manners? You're in Clapham. Have you ever been to Clapham before?
No, I don't think I have.
The old place.
And I was all immersed in my computer going here, so I didn't know where I was going.
Don't you get terrible car sickness if you're looking at your phone or your computer?
No, I can easily
got a tuft work stomach.
Wherever. So I'm in Clapham.
You're in Clapham,
yeah. South London.
South London.
Now, tell us where you've just been, where you've come from, and what you've been up to.
I come from the BBC, from the Today programme, news programme.
Right.
And I've been sitting in my editor's chair, and I've done a few interviews, and we've kind of structured the whole programme, which will be, I have 3 hours at my disposal.
You're a guest editor.
I'm a guest editor.
On the 30th of December.
On the 30th of December.
For the Today programme.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love it when they have guest editors.
Yeah.
Can you give us
a hint? And I mean, all these fantastic journalists at my disposal.
Fabulous.
I can send them out. I'm sending one to Guatemala. And
wow.
I'm reaching out to talk to famous people, interesting people.
What's the kind of bent? What are you particularly interested in that you'd like to bring alive?
I'm going for big topics like Europe, democracy, and climate change, but also fun stuff like Eurovision, talking to some fun people about that, and about a thing that intrigues me and which I don't know the answer to, which is that the gay community has always embraced ABBA. And at the same time, Eurovision.
We noticed
and
on Monday.
And I don't know why that is. So I'm trying to find out. I'm inviting my dear friend Sandy Toksvig to be one of the people to talk.
Right where you are. We love Sandy. She's been on this podcast.
Oh, she has.
Yeah,
okay.
I adore her.
Love Sandy.
She's funny and wonderful and also quite serious.
Yes.
And important. Oh, yeah. That's fabulous.
Yes.
And you still haven't worked out why you have such a huge queer following.
No, I haven't. So I'm in this program, I mean to find out.
I love that. Oh,
I think sequence has a lot to do with it, to be honest.
Oh, well, not the music then.
Oh,
the music is fabulous, but the whole drama.
Yeah,
of it is
we're
wonderful.
Blamed for that completely. But I mean, it was the glam rock era, and everyone had sequence.
Yes,
but now it's only us that have to take the blame for that.
No, I'm giving it a good go too. I wear a few sequins on stage, but it's very much thanks to you guys.
Can we just say congratulations on ABBA The Voyage?
Oh, thank
it is
you.
Spectacular. Mind-blowing, spectacular.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect. And I was absolutely enthralled. It's just a sensational voyage, really.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Jess?
I think you've been so clever with not giving anything away. So there's this mystery.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful warmth with the people in the audience. Your fans are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're fun. They're dressed up. There's like this sense of occasion. And then you go in. And we can't give too much away. But, you know, people, I think, know the gist.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah, they do by now.
But yeah. And I kept on looking at the stage and then looking at the crowd and there was such joy. And
everyone loved it.
It was so brilliant. And, yeah, congratulations. How long did that take to work on?
Well, the first idea, embryo of
was
an idea.
Was it your idea?
No. It was. It came from Simon Fuller, actually.
Oh, really? The manager?
Yeah, the manager, yeah.
Is he your manager?
No, he's not. But he was involved in the... He planted the idea of making digital copies of ourselves.
Okay.
And using those copies in various environments.
Yeah.
So it was as vague as that to begin with, but it was intriguing, we thought.
Was it after you had seen the Coachella performance of when Tupac was a hologram?
It was after that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was so, that a kind of inspiration, do you think?
That and Michael Jackson had some kind of performance at the Grammys one year, right, where he was also a hologram. So, yeah, the hologram technology was the foundation for it. But then we found out that hologram technology is old-fashioned. And
so what's your technology called? Are you called... Well, what would you name?
It's essentially motion capture and film.
Okay.
Yeah. So we gave up hologram about a year into the project.
Right.
And it's been meandering. And we've taken on new directions several times. But then we ended up with ILM, which is a company that is owned by Disney and was originally Lucasfilm.
Right.
And they've been doing the work since. And what we did was, as I said, motion capture. It is essentially when you capture someone's movements and someone in the face and in the body and everywhere, and make measurements of where how long your nose is, where how wide your mouth is, and so forth.
How big your smile is.
Yes, exactly. And apparently the skull doesn't change with age.
Oh.
I didn't know that before we did this, but the rest, as we know, falls apart. But the skull stays the same. So this is so good because you can make younger copies of yourself with the exact measurements.
How old did you select? What was your age?
Well,
that you chose?
We had the discussion, of course. Should we be our real age? Mm. Should we make avatars that were 70 plus? Or was it more fun to kind of recreate something from the 70s, and we decided on the latter, obviously.
It was really fun. And the way that you all move on stage, you know, the dancing, I'm wondering how, and forgive me if the girls were doing all the moves at the age of 75.
Yeah.
I'm presuming you had dancers that mimicked and studied videos of your performances from the footage.
Yes, exactly.
But then with the facial expressions, you're all... here.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
were.
So were you used yourself for all the facial expressions?
Yes.
So it was a collaboration.
It was an integration between young bodies and older. And
it's kind of like Death Becomes Her, but like not like it's...
But also your voices were young. They weren't old voices.
How do you treat the voices?
So what you hear, the voices you hear, including backing vocals, are from the tracks, from the albums.
And
whatever Benny and I are playing that you see on stage is from the old albums. The rest is played by a 10-piece band.
Yeah, they were great.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah, so it makes it very live.
And when you're speaking, were those your voices? Because each ABBA member has a moment speaking to the audience.
That's us now.
That's you now.
Yeah. Which we will have to change slightly if we go to... For instance, Singapore, and I just came from Singapore 14 days ago. Would be a fantastic place for voyage as well.
So you're having a little look out.
And somewhere in North America as well.
It must be in the States.
In North America.
Why did you decide on London as the first place?
It's only 2 hours away from Stockholm.
Where you live?
Is that where you live? Where we live, yes. You all live there?
Yeah, we all live in Stockholm. And the infrastructure for music and film is here. And the talent is here. Everything, all of that stuff is here. So, plus, England has always seen ABBA as a little of their own.
Yeah, I think we claimed you.
Yes, you claimed. Even though the jury in Brighton gave us 0 points, you know that.
I heard that. I can't believe it because it was the best song.
Yeah, well.
Everyone was dancing to Waterloo.
Yeah.
I can. But Eurovision was such a big thing when I was growing up.
Mm.
I
mean,
the whole
is, right?
family would. No, but it was a family thing.
Okay.
The whole family would sit round for Eurovision. We'd work out all the points. We'd have special pop to drink, you know. And it was. It was just such a big thing.
Do you remember watching ABBA?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Oh, how old? When did you win?
I'm 74.
74, so I was 23.
Who did you think would win that year?
I thought you would win because you were. It was such an. It was such a different song. It was like nothing we'd ever heard. No. It was lively. You were dressed amazingly, and it was just so exciting. So you definitely. I thought ABBA would win. Well, can I ask when you decided it? So someone suggested it. Did you, when you're in a group, do you all have to agree everything together? Or did you have to bring people into it and they weren't that keen or they weren't sure?
Are you talking about ABBA Voyage?
No.
The four of us, I mean, we're very democratic. And the four of us have to decide to say yes. If someone says no, it's a no. But serious and big decisions like that are taking the four of us all the time.
And you all get on, even though you were in relationships and you've separated?
We get on so well.
Is that like the Swede in you? I mean, do you feel like we, like, that just you're kind of more brilliantly tolerant of each other being Swedish? I don't know. I feel like everyone in London would be, in England would be like, screw you, I'm taking the songs.
I saw Manhattan Transfer last night.
Were they in relationship?
50th anniversary. Do you remember them?
Who, what, when, why?
They sang their big song with Chanson d'Amour.
Okay.
So it must have been around the same time as you.
Yes, I think
that
so.
It was the same.
Were they all there?
Except one who died, and they'd replaced him with some. But I mean, there was a tribute to him. But they're all still singing and performing. Yeah.
Well, there were times when we were disagreeing, of course. But now, when we did the album, the Voyage album,
the Grammy nominated.
Congratulations. We get along famously, and we have, you know, such bonds.
Do you live near each other in Stockholm?
Not really, no. And Frida lives in Mallorca in Switzerland. Agneta outside Stockholm. Benny and I in Stockholm, but not close to each other. But, you know, when we were in the studio together after 40 years, you realize the story, the things that we have experienced, the fact that we were doing this after 40 years is amazing in itself.
Something
and that
to
creates
celebrate.
Bonds that, you know, I don't think anyone else has in that way. And the way that the music, for some reason, has stayed so relevant and through the years.
I mean, not only are your melodies like second to none, it blows my mind, but lyrics too, and stories that you tell.
Stories.
Is it a very collaborative experience in the room when you're writing those songs? Because slipping through my fingers.
Yes.
That's your favourite.
That's my favourite, I think, because I feel complete mother's guilt.
I know. I captured that completely. Yes.
Yeah, it was just. Yeah. I remember my daughter going off to reception class, like at first, and I just had it. I was crying as I came home. Just had it on repeat in my ear, headphones.
Yeah.
Like I was punishing myself, but it was like the most beautiful way of punishing myself.
Yeah.
But is it very collaborative?
The way we worked was that Benny and I were sitting together writing the
lyrics.
Actual melody.
Melody, right.
They always came first. He is a musical genius, and I was kind of complimenting him in that work. So he would write away, actually, office hours almost.
I love
very
an office.
Disciplined.
I love a 9 to 5.
Yeah, yeah. 9 to 5.
Love it.
Working, and writing about 14 songs a year, or completing 14 songs, and throwing away 95% of everything. And then when we'd have like 3-4 songs, we'd go into the studio with studio musicians, 3 of them, guitar, bass and drums. And I would write a demo lyric and I would sing that again and again, and we would add things, and someone would come up with an idea, and we'd, oh, keep that, that's good. And then in the end, we'd have a backing track of that song, and maybe with a few overdubs, strings and something. Mm. And then I would take that home and I would listen to it over and over again until, and surprisingly, it so often kind of told me what it was about. It just came down. Ooh, and I would see images. I would see film sequences sometimes. And it was just a matter of transforming that to song lyrics.
As a musician who's fascinated by, well, songwriting, and also I find songwriting incredibly frustrating and magic at the same time. It's that like hard work, but then there's those moments of pure magic where you're like, I don't understand what just happened, but
yeah,
it's working and let's go with this.
Yeah.
Like, Swedish songwriters are celebrated and particularly for their approach, and there's a kind of formula. You think about that, which, well, people from the outside, you look at people, well, like you, Max Martin, these really successful songwriters that have hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
And we talk about this Swedish formula, but no one really understands
it. Because there is no formula.
Okay, fine.
That we were accused, you know, in the day of being working to a formula and being a hit factory and all of that is very plastic, very shallow. But then how can you... We released Fernando, and then after Fernando, Dancing Queen. Do you see a formula? No. Do you?
But is there one? Can you give me one bit of advice? Fine, maybe not a formula, because actually yours are so intricate and complicated in many ways, but then have that pop sensibility, which makes it sing along and accessible and universal.
Yeah.
Give me one tip.
But this idea that you have to start with a chorus and things like that, they are new, because in the 70s, we had time. We didn't have to do, there was no streaming. There were no people who were zapping or you know, clicking. We had time. We did Fernando with 2 verses before the chorus came. I mean, it took a minute before
how
the first chorus.
No,
you wouldn't today. Well, I mean, people don't do that.
The record label
would
say don't
it
won't get on radio.
Yeah. So, well, no. The only thing I can say is that people often are in a hurry. Songwriters, they are like in a hurry. They have to finish things before they're finished. I think
you're right.
We threw away so much, and we just kept the really good stuff.
Could
so
I have
that
the thrown
every...
away stuff? Yeah. Could you just pass it on to me a bit, please?
Well, you know, I don't know what we threw away. Maybe some good stuff. But the only stuff we kept was in our minds, in our heads. Because we never wrote anything down. We never recorded anything. It was just the stuff that stuck that we used.
Wow.
So maybe that's a piece of advice.
Okay. The stuff that stays with you.
Yeah. Don't record. Don't write anything down. Just see what sticks.
I love that.
You were born in Stockholm?
No, I was born in a small town south of Stockholm, population 20,000.
Wow.
Called Västervik, on the Baltic. That's where I grew up.
You're one of a big family?
There was me and my sister, and my dad and me, and... was a very idyllic upbringing.
Musical family?
Not musical, no. My dad used to bring out his mandolin when he was tipsy and sang a few songs, but that was all. So not musical, not really.
What do you get tipsy on in Sweden?
He got tipsy on...
Schnapps?
Schnapps. It would have been schnapps most of the time, or some cheap whiskey.
Cheap whiskey. What's the basis of schnapps?
I don't know.
Is it a grape or a cherry?
It's potato, isn't it?
Potato?
Or like vodka.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think it's potato or any kind of corn.
Was your dad cooking?
No, my dad never cooked. My mom cooked, and she did the same thing. We got the same thing every weekday, or every Wednesday. We would get the same thing as next Wednesday.
And what was, do you remember the Wednesday meal?
The Wednesday was probably fried pork, like bacon, like pork.
Gammon?
Yeah, like gammon.
Is it a Swedish dish?
Yeah, and that together with sweet and sour kind of beans that are very Swedish.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Sweet and sour beans.
Yeah. That was Wednesday. On Saturday, she always went to the local fish market where there was fresh fish. And we had Baltic herring, fried Baltic herring, which was, wonderful.
Delicious. Mm.
Was there ever any doubt that you would eat fish, being a Swedish person? I mean, did you ever kind of reject it?
I don't think I liked it as a child, but I got used to it, and now I... absolutely love it. And there was a lot of marinated herring and stuff like that. Cod, I remember a lot of cod. And we had fish perhaps two or three times a week.
And are you a good cook? Did you bring any dishes to the ABBA table?
Not really. When I was married to my first wife, Agneta, she and I were, you know, equally good cooks, I think. So I cooked more then. But then I met Lena, my second wife, and she was such a great cook that I kind of stopped.
What was a really great dish that she made? Well, one that you just...
She made all kinds of dishes. What was the best? She used to do a pheasant with a sauce that was to die for.
Ooh.
And she... a chili con carne was marvelous. Lots of stuff.
What's Christmas like in your family? What's the setup? And is there any lovely Christmas ABBA traditions?
There is. Christmas is a really big thing in our family. And I've got four kids and nine grandchildren.
Nine?
Yes.
I'm jealous.
And so we're getting together on Christmas, all of us. And each family brings something. With me and my former wife, we used to bring gravlax.
I love that.
Did you make it?
I've seen her make it, and it's not very difficult.
It's not difficult.
No.
Yeah. I
used to do the sauce, the mustard sauce that goes with it.
I love that. Oh, that.
Yeah, what's the herb that's in it?
Dill.
A lot of dill. And sugar and oil and eggs and stuff. And we also used to marinate fillet of beef, a big fillet of beef, also marinated in the same manner as gravlax, actually. And that's what we bring, and then others bring meatballs, of course, and marinated herrings of all kinds, and cheeses, and...
Will you sing? Will you get round the piano? Or?
No.
Oh, they probably go, not Waterloo again, Dad.
not Waterloo on Christmas, no. What do we sing? When people have schnapps, I don't have schnapps, but others around me do. They sing, He Langor, Hung Hopfer, La 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 La. It's a very silly Swedish drinking song.
What's it mean?
It's very difficult to translate, okay. Actually.
I'll leave but, it, but, especially but when you've had a few schnapps.
An Englishman translated it to hell and gore.
Oh,
hell and
but
gore.
It means that now we drink the first schnapps something.
Okay.
Yeah, and then there is another one coming soon.
Do you have pudding? What's for dessert on Christmas Day? Do you have Christmas Eve? Is that when you celebrate?
Yeah, Christmas Eve is a big thing. And there's some kind of sweet rice pudding, I know, with oranges. Mm. And yes, Christmas Eve is when Santa Claus comes for the kids. I ask a neighbor or someone, and he dresses up as Santa.
Oh, wow.
And then, gather all the grandchildren. I think Santa is coming, and I look out the window, and there he is walking with his big rucksack and knocking on the door and giving gifts to the kids.
How lovely.
That's Christmas Eve for us.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is anybody hungry?
I'm very hungry.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Okay, I'll
I'm
get this
really
sorted.
Hungry.
Good.
So, Bjorn, we've never done this before, but we know how rare and special this is that we've got you in the room having a chat. So, we actually told people that you were going to be on. We never name our guests.
Mm.
And ABBA Voyage put it out on their Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to give people, because this is really exciting, the chance to ask you questions.
Ah.
I hope this is okay. I hope they okayed this with you. Yeah. But we got hundreds, within kind of an hour, we had so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be open to answering some of
them? Oh, yes, of course.
Right, whilst Mum gets the grub on, thank you, Mum. Is it true Madonna came to see you to ask permission to sample Gimme 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 for her song Hung Up? And if not, have you met her?
Never met her. She sent an assistant with the finished tape or whatever it was at that time. To Stockholm, and Benny and I listened to it.
It's good to
and we said, it took us perhaps half a minute or 45 seconds to say, yeah, because it was so bloody brilliant, put together by Stuart Price, her producer, and the one who probably spliced the two songs together in that way.
I've been working with Stuart on my new record, and I was intrigued by this song and how it came about. And he said that she said to him, I mean, you probably know this. She said something like, I want to feel like it's like psychedelic ABBA sex. She said she wanted it, and he was like, okay, let's do this. And he was like, right, let's go.
So that's how it happened.
She was like, I want that feeling. And so he was great
there. And he listened to the tracks, and he wrote the music, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's amazing at top lines, I think. I think she did all the top lines.
Oh, she did?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Okay, but the way it's put together, the harmonies and everything is brilliant.
It is really exciting. Is the song I'm a Marionette a story of how the girls in the group felt at the time?
Oh, good question. Okay. Very good question, because it's from a mini musical that we wrote for one of our tours. And it is about a woman who finds herself, from being an ordinary girl to very famous and being, you know, like a marionette. Our Lady certainly weren't like that. But a lot of women during in the 70s, I'm sure, felt like that, being pushed by managers and A&R people, by, you know, back and forth, like marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't about Our Ladies. It was about a fictional one.
My Love, My Life is such a beautiful song. Which song do you think Agnetha sings best?
She very much acted her songs. She was a good storyteller.
Mm.
So I have various different favourites. I mean, the long note that she holds in Gimme Gimme is not bad. and the performance she gives in The Winner Takes It All is really heartrending. So I would think that is my favourite.
Okay. Can I ask, I'm sure you've told this story a lot, but how did you all meet? And were there any really memorable kind of moments with food amongst those kind of early years of ABBA?
I just remember that being on tour in the late 60s and the beginning of the 70s in Sweden was horrible because the food was so horrible.
Really?
Like it would have been in the English countryside as well, you can imagine.
Yeah.
I remember one distinctly. I remember the day after we had won the Eurovision Song Contest, we had dinner in a Wheeler's restaurant. Is Wheeler's a chain that is...
Big Fish restaurant.
Right. And I had the best Dover sole in my life.
Yeah, do you think that was because of the wind, though?
Yeah, that was because of the wind. We could afford it. We thought... And ever since then, sole meuniere is my favourite fish dish. It's the queen of fishes.
Does it take you back to that feeling of winning the Eurovision?
Yeah, it does. And then I have memories from Tokyo and our last tour in 82 when I was introduced to sashimi and the Japanese kitchen, which I absolutely love. That's probably my favorite. If I was forced to choose one cuisine, it would probably be the Italian.
Italian?
Yeah. But number two would be Japanese, I think.
Well, that leads us on to, you can start mulling this over, your Last Supper. You've got a starter, a choice of a starter, main, dessert, and drink of choice. Have a think. Where would you go? Because I'm feeling like maybe Italian and Japanese are going to play a part in this. Or are you going to go more nostalgic for that, that Dover sole?
Yes, as a main dish... I would actually go for a Dover sole.
That Wheeler's Dover sole?
Yes. And being a bit nostalgic. This is my Last Supper. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And as a starter, I would have a really, really good carpaccio.
Mm. Is there a particular Italian restaurant that you're getting that from?
I was in Rome not long ago. And they have a very good restaurant at the hotel. What the hotel is called, I cannot remember now.
Maybe it'll come back to you.
It'll come back. And dessert, I would probably indulge in a pavlova.
Oh, really? You know what? We could have, thank you. For our last recording of a guest, we did a pavlova. And now I'm very sad that we didn't do it for you.
Yeah, well.
I'm sorry. And drink of choice?
Drink of choice, I would drink a really good alcohol-free lager.
I've got a beer without alcohol if you want.
Great.
Would you have one now? Do you want one?
No, I'd rather stay on the water.
Yeah.
But for my Last Supper, that's what I take.
That looks gorgeous, Mum.
Oh, wow.
It is.
Very nice. I've
just got to get the rice out.
Thanks, Mum. It looks gorge.
Actually, I'm at the moment trying an anti-inflammatory diet, but I'm making an exception for this.
Oh, no. What does that mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the inflammatory stuff?
It is absolutely no sugar.
Okay.
And no sugar-like food, which is like bread, white bread, okay. And stuff like that, and not processed foods.
Well, this isn't processed, is
no,
it, Mum?
No, but I'm making an exception.
Okay, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, of course
why,
I am.
Why have you decided to go on this diet?
Because I've read so much about it and that it's good for you.
But you look amazing.
Thank you. And I, since I started 3 weeks ago, I think I sleep better.
Oh, really?
So that's...
But do you have a big sweet tooth? Was that
yes,
part of the
yes,
thing?
Do you want to help yourself or do you want me to help you?
Please help me. Yes, I love sweets. I love candy of all
but
kinds.
But I'm going to put it on here first because I think I'll do better.
Oh, look at that.
You like sweets and candy?
Yes.
Oh, Mum, it looks delish.
I hope so.
Oh. So it's an ottolenghi dish. Do you like ottolenghi?
Oh, yeah. I was at one of his courses, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where?
In somewhere in England. I think it was close to Manchester. I was there was a big Google do, and I was speaking there, and he was there, and he had
he's delightful.
A course for the... And he did something with yogurt and butter beans.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Very nice dish. Mmm.
Is it tasting
How
nice?
Is it?
Does it need salt?
I don't know.
What do you think?
Oh.
Oh, good.
All that.
Positive growth.
Lovely.
There are groans
of... Oh, so good.
It's because it's got good. Sugar in and you're just really happy to be reunited with sugar.
Yeah. I'm feeling it much, much more than I did 3 weeks ago, I think. It's a sensation.
Thank you for making an exception today. I appreciate that.
Mm.
Oh, Mum, that's delish.
Oh.
Oh, it's like really warming. It's perfect for today.
Mm.
How long are you in London for?
I came yesterday and I'm leaving after this. Going to Copenhagen.
You're non-stop.
I'm going to look at a venue for Mamma Mia the Party.
I've heard about the Mamma Mia the Party.
Yeah.
This is the dinner party.
Yes, it is.
Where, is it a bit kind of cabaret in the sense that people sing around and they do Mamma Mia songs and then you're eating with, like you're on a wedding table with people?
Yeah, we imagine that you're in a Greek taverna.
Which is a great place to be.
The owner of taverna and the staff and his mother and everyone tell a story in real time while you're eating. And the story is told the same way as Mamma Mia the musical with dialogue and songs that tell the story as well.
Can I ask you a few more of the questions?
Well, yes, of
because
course.
I kind of feel like this is huge for ABBA fans worldwide to be able to have this chance. So how did you decide which non-singles to include in ABBA Voyage? There are so many to choose from. Was this a group discussion? I presume it was.
Mm.
Who pushed for the magnificent Hole in Your Soul?
We did. We bounced it back and forth between us for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we decided Voyage could have been a film with us acting in it and stuff like that. We decided it would be a concert, just like we had gone on tour. And so we built the set list, the song list, as we would have done on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we just chose the songs exactly in that way. And then it's a matter of what is fun to perform, what works dynamically and harmonically and in segments and exactly how you construct a song list for a concert. So that's why it's not all hits, it's other stuff as well. Album tracks and no B-sides, I think, but album tracks.
Which ABBA song doesn't get the recognition that it deserves?
Well, when we released it, The Day Before You Came was not a hit.
Right. Do you know, why do you think that
happened? I think we were
Which
once,
year was that?
Once, this was 1982, I think. And I think we were one step ahead of the audience. They didn't quite... They had followed us thus far, you know, in developing for album by album. But at that point, maybe... I don't know what it was, but they... You were kind of being maybe too dramatic or something. But that song has gained such recognition on now that there is no song I can think of that hasn't.
So even though that wasn't a hit and it's received recognition, does it still feel frustrating, or can you just enjoy the fact that it's still been appreciated but a bit later on?
Oh, yes, I can enjoy that. Yeah, no problem.
Fine, great.
No, I'm very bitter.
After you had made the album, Voulez-Vous, how did you pick which songs to release as singles? As Good As New is my favourite, and My Friends is If It Wasn't For The Night.
Mm-hmm. Well...
Did you choose, or was it a conversation with the label?
We chose, the four of us.
Which singles were on Voulez-Vous?
I don't know. I don't know. I can just tell you how it worked every time.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, when we had an album, Benny and I would choose our favourites.
Yeah.
And the ladies too. And our manager, Stig Anderson, was involved. And then we knew what we felt. And then we sent the album out to like five or six people we trusted around the world, publishers or A&R people, selected people we knew we could trust. We sent them out and they would come back with their favourites for the first single.
And was it usually the same as yours?
And then we would compile that and see, okay, so what all these other people think that one should be a single. And if that coincides with our taste, I mean, it was a no-brainer.
Mm.
Sometimes it didn't. And sometimes we were not agreeing among ourselves. And then we'd have to come to some kind of compromise on. So that's how it worked.
Well, that's being in a band, isn't it?
Do you still do it?
Yeah, kind of.
Does everyone still do it like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I suppose so.
I feel like potentially nowadays the album becomes secondary to what the singles are. And that's sad, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think people are very single focused.
Yes, they are. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
Though.
And so you kind of go against the grain if you kind of are going...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know whether
We were able to be so album-oriented. You can't be that today, almost. Well, you can if you're Taylor Swift or someone like that, but it's geared towards singles now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you release one single after the other and so forth.
Track listing, would you always put your top four songs, your favourite ones at the top?
Is that what people do?
That's what I've heard people do. Rick Rubin said, put your favourite ones at the top, put the best ones at the top, and then they'll listen to the rest.
But then it's kind of your album fillers at the bottom.
Well, there shouldn't be any filler on an album.
No, this should be all killer, no filler.
Yeah, that's how we worked.
Yeah.
Every song on the album was always, you know, the best we could do at that given moment. And there was never anything onto an album that was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were all written with the same kind of care, all the songs.
When did you last go and see Mamma Mia, the musical? And are people still shocked when they see you in the audience? I know that you've been to see ABBA Voyage a lot.
Yeah, people
and they announce
you, yeah.
Whoever the ABBA member is, they announce it over the tannoys, don't they? That
yeah.
you're in the house.
Yeah.
And people
do you stand in the dance floor bit?
I stay in the background.
Okay.
I don't dance a lot when even if other people do. Well, I saw the musical about 3 months ago, and that was the first time in maybe 5 years. So, but then it's on its 23rd year now in London.
And would you like some coffee or tea to go with a piece of?
Oh yeah, some coffee would be lovely.
How do you like your coffee?
Like it?
Regular black coffee with a little oat milk, if you have.
Oh, good luck. Have you got oat milk?
No, ordinary milk. That's fine. That's fine. Today's a day of exceptions.
God, I hope your tummy's going to be all right. Would you like a piece of cake? You're yes. looking at it, Bjorn.
Yeah.
I feel like that sugar-free diet is going out the window today.
Yes, today, but...
You've broken the seal now. You may as well just, like,
tomorrow
you know, enjoy.
I'm back on it again. So this, I'm enjoying this.
So, Mum, what is
immensely?
So what this is lemon polenta cake.
Ah.
And I did, the last time I made it was for Stanley Tucci.
Oh, really?
And he liked it. Would you like some mascarpone just on
yes,
the side?
Yes, please.
And there's some raspberries there.
This looks fab.
Ooh.
When you split up from your wife in ABBA, did it affect the relationship, the music? I mean, was there a time where you just had to not be with each other to get over the separation?
Or all the songs really angry and resentful? I don't know, was it?
Because you're such good friends still.
Yeah. Because ours was, you know, a divorce where we kind of both decided at the same time that we had grown apart and that, you know, it was almost like a handshake. We should get divorced. Maybe this isn't working. Yeah, you're right. We should. And then we split up. So.
And did you have?
There
children?
Was no acrimony.
Children. There was no acrimony.
We had small children, and Agneta moved to a house that was very, very close to where we were living. So. We imagined that the kids would be able to go back and forth. Didn't work out that way, but no. So we decided that we have such a thing, such a wonderful vehicle to express ourselves, ABBA, that it would be such a shame to stop that.
Yeah.
Because and since we both agree. But we kept on working. And I think Benny and Frida did the same thing.
Is there a song that really feels like your song with Agneta?
Is there a song that really... No, and I don't think I ever wrote about her and me specifically. But, I took experiences from our lives together. And our families together and all kinds of aspects of relationship.
Yeah.
I took that and made fiction of it.
That's the funnest thing that I find with songwriting, that it doesn't... When I actually tried to do a really autobiographical one, it was really boring.
Yeah, yeah.
It's much more fun telling stories.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who is Fernando? I so agree.
Who is Fernando?
Fernando is an old guy.
Yeah.
And
have you met him?
No, he's built on a freedom fighter in Pancho Villa's army. It's one of the Mexican revolutions.
Mm.
But this is...
You hear the drums.
Fernando is sitting on the porch with his wife or his partner, and she's the one who sings.
Yeah.
And she sings about... when they were together fighting in Pancho Villa's army. Can you hear the drums, Fernando? And they recall that fateful night and when they crossed the Rio Grande and so forth. That's Fernando.
What about Chiquitita?
That's her daughter? No.
Because that's quite a mouthful. I mean, respect, that's not like, you know, a Jude or a Delilah. That's percussive.
Mm. Yeah, Chiquitita.
It's such a lovely...
It comes from the sound of the word.
Okay.
I had written two lyrics that didn't work before that, for what, that song.
Can we hear which of them they were?
I don't remember them.
They weren't good enough, they didn't stay in the head.
No, they didn't stay in the head. But then, ta-ta-ta-ta, sounded like Chiquitita.
Yeah, it's so great.
So you take a melody and the kind of feel of the vowels or the
yes,
and
sound.
We'll make a word out of it.
Yeah, make a word out of it and then weave a story around that.
Well, there you go. Next time I'm in the studio, I'll say, what would Bjorn do? Bjorn, do you have good table manners? I think you do.
Hmm.
I just asked you that do. When you were putting some food
looking,
in your mouth.
He's looking at me. To reassure him that he's doing all right.
Exactly.
You are an exceptional guest.
Thank you.
Who, if you had a dinner party and you can invite anyone, dead or alive, who would you have?
I'd be very interested to talk to Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
Because of his coming out of jail after all that time and being so rational and so
positive.
Positive.
I completely so that,
that's
agree
someone
with you.
I would like to talk to.
Have you ever met him then? No.
No, I never met him. And then I would like to talk to Voltaire.
Yeah.
The Enlightenment philosopher. I would invite him. And who else? I would invite Astrid Lindgren. She wrote the Pippi Longstocking stories.
Astrid Lindgren.
And she's such a giant in Swedish literature and such a wise woman. I met her a couple of times. She could go very well with that crowd.
Yeah.
That was an impressive dinner party.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, two remaining questions. Tiger or When I Kissed the Teacher?
Mm-hmm. Or?
Or.
I have to choose one of them.
Yeah, apparently so.
When I Kissed the Teacher.
Why?
Because I like that song more than I like Tiger.
Fair enough.
But Tiger is a good song too.
Fair enough.
When I Kissed a Teacher, I had a teacher once, and I had a crush on her. So I imagined what it would be like to actually go and kiss her, what that would have been like. So that's what I write about in When I Kissed the Teacher.
Last question. Did you ever see the French and Saunders ABBA sketch?
Yes, I did. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were dressed
I love
up.
That.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't enjoy so much when people are impersonating and doing ABBA is when the tribute bands do Scandinavian accents.
Because you don't
Because
really,
we don't have Scandinavian accent, or not as pronounced as they do.
That must be
they speak a hurdy-gurdy like that.
Hurdy-gurdy.
And I get offended by that.
Well, that's really good to know, because all the ABBA fans that are listening that potentially are in tribute bands, now, just please, yeah. Bjorn's told please. You to give it a rest. Yeah.
The King's English.
Okay, thank you.
Is what goes.
We have one last question for you.
Hmm?
I mean...
I can't really Apart, imagine
can I,
that you
can
do
I
this.
Can I have a little more of that?
Oh,
I'm so happy. You've made
you,
me so
just
a
little
just
happy.
Just a tiny bit.
Do you want to take some on your flight?
No, it please. Don't give it to me.
Would you like another few raspberries with that?
He's got
no,
some.
Oh,
you've got, okay.
I got raspberries and mascarpone.
Mum, last question.
Do you like it, the cake?
I
does
love
he? Oh,
it.
She's, yeah. You know he does. He's had seconds on both, Mum.
Yeah, good. I don't imagine you do karaoke, but if you did, if you like it, which song would you choose to sing?
Mm.
Can't be one of the ABBA songs.
Well, it can't.
No.
Because I'm a coward.
No, you're going to have to do two now. You're going to have to pick your ABBA song, but also your non-ABBA song.
Which is the easiest song to sing as a karaoke song, an ABBA song.
More fun.
But I'm a coward, so I would do... Does Your Mother Know, which is
oh,
the one
yes.
I do on one of the albums. So I'd sing that one. Other than that, I would do something very simple. You mean a pop song?
Yeah. Do you ever go to karaoke?
No.
Is it popular in Sweden?
Yeah, I think it is. It's popular everywhere. I went to karaoke once in Beijing. Because the guys in the band wanted me to come down to that karaoke bar, because they had ABBA songs, and they had the most crazy thing of writing them down. They had written the lyrics down from hearing them, so they showed me, "The Winter Takes It All."
The Winter Takes It All.
No, but that's as close as I've come to karaoke.
Okay.
But what would I sing? I would sing Ticket to Ride.
Oh, it's a good song.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming over. It's been fascinating and wonderful to meet you.
Thank you for a
and
great chat.
And to hear your stories. And also, best of luck with, ABBA Voyage, sold out all the time. It's going so well, and hopefully it will be here for the foreseeable future.
Hope so.
And then best of luck for Radio 4 guest edit.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, and it's been a pleasure to be here, and glorious food.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Mum, he was fantastic.
Gosh, such a lovely, interesting man.
You know, when I gave him the tea towel,
yeah,
he was quite confused, I think.
My darling.
That I was kind of implying that maybe he was going to do the dishes. Well, I don't know. Maybe Bjorn doesn't do the dishes.
Maybe he thought he was going to have to wash up.
No, but I kind of gave it to him and he's looked the most perplexed out of anybody who's been offered.
He didn't really know why he was here, to be perfectly honest. He said, I've never done anything like this before.
But he ate seconds on both the main and the pud.
Yeah.
He was having a lovely time.
And I thought he might be a bit tricky about food because he's on some...
Anti-inflammatory
diet. But he didn't. But he'd been in the gym for an hour. Wished I had.
I really... Look, thank you to everybody that sent him questions. This was a pretty special episode, so forgive us, foodies, for not making it all about food today, but we had kind of musical...
Oh, it was so interesting.
...royalty.
Yeah.
We feel very honoured that we had Bjorn in the building today.
Like the food.
Love the food.
Seemed relaxed. Asked for seconds. I didn't even offer it.
Made some very sexual noises when he was having that first taste of the blackened
chicken.
Did he? He went, oh, yeah, well, we can make a remix out of it, I think.
Right.
Anyway, thank you so much. And thank you for listening. Thank you for the questions. And I think I'm on cooking duty next week.
Thank you for the music, Bjorn.
See you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.